All right, we're going to resume our talk. All right, we just wrapped up personal leadership, where we looked at leadership behaviors. We looked at what motivates us. We looked at our values. All right, now, knowing our values and what motivates us impacts our life, okay? So now we're going to look at our work-life balance. All right, there is a connection between what we value and how we spend our time that impacts different areas of our lives. All right, if you go to, all right, you do not have this. If you can just take notes. Okay, then. You all are some excellent students, I will say. Y'all right on it. I like it. All right, I'm gonna follow the pattern of Minister A.C. Roper. If you will look and listen and absorb, I will email this to you later today. So we're looking, we're listening, we're absorbing. All right, so we're talking about work-life balance. All right, can you all see that? I hope so. Is that somewhat? All right, if you could move. We do have some seats. We do have some seats closer. All right. I don't know if they're doing something with the lights. Is that better? Okay, good. So we're going to look at work-life balance, and first we're going to define our term. So the first term is work. Do we know what that is? No? Yes? What is work? All right, it is the application of mental and or physical activity to achieve a purpose, to get a goal done. It's also employment, okay, how we earn a living, how we make money, how we clothe the babies, right? All right, so that's work. Next, we're going to go to life. We're looking at work-life balance, okay? We looked at work. Okay, so we're applying energy and effort, whether mental or physical, to get something done. Now, life, what's that life component? Well, there are several different ways to look at life. And the first one is the technical definition, and I liked it, so I put it in there. It says the quality manifested in functions such as metabolism, growth, response to stimulation, which distinguishes living organisms, from dead organisms or inanimate matter. So those things and processes that distinguishes us from things that don't move. Next is also the interval between birth and death. I was like, well, that's a simple definition. What is life? Whatever happens in between birth and death, that's life. All right, so the operative definition is this third one. It talks about human activities. All right, so spiritual, family, friends, community, work, that's one of them. Hobbies, sports, travel, entertainment, health, maintenance, food, exercise, sleep, all of those things incorporate human activities and human relationships, and that's the operative definition that we want to work with today. So we're looking at work-life balance. So a balance between expending that mental, physical energy and balancing it with every other facet of our life, human activities, human relationships. All right, so balance. What does it mean to balance? To bring into or maintain equilibrium. An even distribution of possibly weight, possibly amounts, possibly importance. So we want to look at, all right, what's the way to kind of bring all of these things together? Work-life balance, how we personally distribute our time and energy towards our work life and our personal life. Now, you may be thinking work was in there in a human activity. Work is a human activity. So why is it elevated above the others? Well, hopefully we'll answer that for you today. All right, so let's look at some research. Edwards and Rothbard in 2000 have identified about 6 approaches that explain or give a different perspective on the relationship between work-life balance or work and life and family. All right, so the first one is spillover. So if you go with the spillover theory as it relates to work and family, which that's the same as work and life, there's a transfer of effects from behaviors from one domain to the other. Okay, so we're going to transfer whatever happens to me at home is going to transfer to what happens at work. If I have an awesome day at work, my family going to know about it, right? But that can be positive or negative. If things wasn't going right at work, I'm going to be a sourpuss at home, right? So that's the spillover theory. Compensation. One domain may compensate for what's missing in another domain. So, for example, if I don't particularly enjoy my job, then I'm going to compensate at home. I'm going to really enjoy my family and friends. I'm going to enjoy being away and partying or whatever the case may be, or vice versa. So it's to compensate. If I don't really, my family situation is not where it needs to be, then I'm going to compensate by being a stellar employee or things of that nature. So it's to compensate. And these are just different theories and ways to look at work-life balance. The next one is the segmentation theory. This says each domain operates independently, and role demands can be compartmentalized. That means I can be at work, and then when I leave, I'm done with that. That's in a box. I ain't thinking about it. I ain't looking about it. It's compartmentalized. I've shut it off, shut it down when I go home. So you can put every little thing in its separate little box. That is the segmentation theory. Resource drain theory says resources may be taken from one domain to spend in another. So energy that I might should have spent playing with Lil Junior, I'll use it at work. And that's just an example. Okay? All right, now the last two aspects of Rothgard and Edwards theories, the congruence theory says the relationship between work and family coincides, or it occupies the same space and time, and may be positive or negative, but is really false because it's dependent upon a third factor, which could be anything. It could be your work ethic. It could be your personality. It could be your attitude at the time. So the congruence theory says that there is a third factor in there that can disrupt that family work-life balance. And then lastly, the work-family conflict. In this particular theory, it says work and family are at war and have opposing interests and demands. Okay, they are at war. They are in conflict. Okay, they need to read the Bible. But and get out of conflict. But these are just different ways to look at that work-life balance. So you can start to meditate in your own spirit. Is my work and family life at war? Or do I put them in little boxes? Okay, if I'm at work, don't ask me nothing about my home life. Nothing. So you see how the theories kind of work? It depends on your perspective and how you look at it. So we'll move on. All right, so what are some general observations? Work is a part of life, but we're going to look at, why it has started to take on a predominant theme. In our culture and day and age, work has been given arguably the largest portion of our time and attention. For most people, the area, this area is most susceptible to imbalance. That's the work area. It's part of life, but for some reason, it's taken a bigger chunk of our life. It yields finances, which causes some to view it as the support for all the other activities. Family, my family needs to eat, so I guess I got to go to work. Spiritual, I need a Bible with three ribbons in it, so I guess I got to go to work. Just kidding. No, but really, I need to wear clothes when I come to church, so I got to work, right? This is just a thought. This is a thought. This is the worldview. Hobbies, I need money to do my hobbies. Health, if I need vitamins or medicine, I need to have money. So in the world's view, it looks like since finances is tied to the job, that the job should automatically have more importance. But is that so? All right. Lastly, some tie it to it garners or cultivates respect, recognition, social acceptance. Do we associate people with don't have jobs? Think about it. Unless they're retired, they had a job, right? Then we'll be their friend. But if not, we like, what you do for a living? No, for real, a little comedy. You know Martin, that show, they was always ragging on Tommy because they didn't know what he did for a living, right? You know what I'm talking about? That's like he ain't got no job, man. Okay, so just think, how many friends you got that don't have no job? Why you looking at me crazy? Y'all looking at me crazy now, like, what you talking about? All right, so part of it is social acceptance, okay? Next, the Bible even says, if you don't work, you shouldn't eat. So apparently work is important. All right, so now I have some questions, and these are just food for thought questions for you to kind of chew on as we go forward. The first one says, is work more important in the aspect of our lives? Is it? Should it have the largest percentage of our time and energy? Think about that as we go forward. All right, so workplace trends. We looked at the question just a minute ago. Is work more important? Should it have the largest percentage of our time? Well, you may say no, you may say yes, but let's look at some trends and see what do the trends say. Let's just look. All right, some of the trends say that more women are now in the workplace. We have more dual earner families, which means the husband and wife, the mom and the dad work. We have more single parent households, which, you know, that single parent has to work. Men and women are working longer hours. Remember, we just asked the question, is it more important? Maybe you said no, but the trends are kind of pointing to yes. Men and women work longer years. Greater workplace demands are in the workplace. More is required from the few workers. Pressure from company downsizing, restructuring, and outsourcing is a part of that. Heightened worldwide competition. Since you can buy it anywhere, you can buy it online. Several people are selling it now. Competition is a thing that drives the workforce and the need for us to work. Speed and costs are critical in that as well. Customers demand more. Okay, so people have to work to meet customer demands. And then lastly, technology makes it possible to work 24/7 from anywhere. You may say work is not important, but the trends say otherwise. The trends say it's important. All right, so the impact of imbalance. Okay, so what happens when we're out of balance, we're working too much? Possibly health suffers. Fatigue, you don't eat right, you have poor eating habits, you may gain weight, you may lose too much weight, you may attract a disease, stress mentally, physically, just unrest. Lose time with loved ones. You miss those important family events and milestones. Grandma's 80th birthday, you know, junior's first step. Were you there? Did you see it? Lose in touch with friends. You don't have time. You're too busy working. Increased job expectations, and this is not an exhaustive list, this is just a short list. Increased job expectations, well, you're working all these hours so you get promoted so you can get some more work. The end result, work becomes your life or work takes your life. Is that what you want? So what are some external remedies? Okay, employers are like, okay, yeah, this is not good. I don't want all my people quitting because they say they're working too hard. So let me throw some at them. Let me give them a little flex time. Let me give them a little telecommute. You can work from home as long as you keep working. child care services. I'll pay for daycare. Maternity leave. Yeah. Parental leave. You a dad. You a new dad. Yeah. Yeah. Long as you keep working, right? They throwing something at you so you can keep working. Okay, the government says, yeah, we got to have some regulations, Family Medical Leave Act, yeah. So what are you going to do? What is the employee going to do to make sure you're in balance? Okay, there are some external remedies, but the external remedies have strings attached. So that's not really going to help you in the long run. You got to make some tough decisions. All right, so tips from the experts. They say, well, you know what you need to do if you find yourself, you're out of balance, you're not managing your time, you're not balanced with your work-life aspects, then just manage your time better. That's all you got to do. Just do that. What's that? Take advantage of options. You know, remember we just talked about those options that have strings attached. Just learn to say no. Just tell your boss, you know what, how about no? You know what? I'm glad that the executives are not here today. But did Pastor Mike do a sermon saying say no? Okay, you may need to have that sermon with you when you tell your supervisor no. So that'll be your scriptural reference. Okay, I'm being silly. Okay, leave work at work. Okay, some people take work home with them. Organize a support system at home and at work. Okay, grandma, I need you to keep the kids. I need you to keep the kids. Got to work. Then you need a support system at work. Tell your coworker or your family member, if you work with a family member, hey, I need you to cover for me today. Thanks. So that's your support system. Okay, next, set aside time to nurture yourself. Okay, I need some me time. Okay, that's what the experts say to help you get back in balance, right? This good, right? All right. All right, so the thought, it says, these suggestions represent a short-term Band-Aid unless you change your thinking and apply the appropriate action. So what's the appropriate action? We'll get there in a second. All right, so some more thinking questions. Okay, does work have the first priority in your life? Okay, now we're going to bring it home, make it personal. Okay, let me get one person to answer that one. Just give me your just brief opinion. Does work have the first priority in your life, Will Anderson? Yes or no? I don't need a dissertation. Yes or no? You say yes? Okay. That wasn't the response I was looking for. You're supposed to say no. That's what we all say. Okay, we're going to erase what Will Anderson said. We're going to go with Erica Coleman. Erica Coleman, answer the question. Does work have the first priority in your life? No. Say it loud.
No.
No. Okay. So is your life balanced? That means, yes, life must be balanced. All right, let's go to the next slide. All right, so now, I don't know if you can see this, but I want you to draw this. You got some blank paper? Draw it on your paper. Draw a circle that says, my will of life. And then I'll tell you what the little thing. They didn't come in at all, but I know what they are. It says God at the top, G-O-D. All right, so just draw a circle, and then you can draw little lines. And then you may have more lines than me. I just did a few, but you know what your priorities and values and motivators are. So the first one at the top was the circle, and in the middle of the circle it says my will of life. At the top it says God. Then it says self. I'm doing this from memory. Then it says family. Oh, I'm going clockwise. So God, self, family, friends should be the next one. Community, work, and fun. Now, you may add in some, and I'll go back over that. It says God. It don't even come out on this one either. Okay, God, self, family, friends, community, work, fun. Now, you may have other things that are important that you are free to add in here. Like if travel is important, you want to stick that in there. That's a high priority for you, which may go under fun. But if you have any others that I've not listed that you think are important or that are important to you, you can go ahead and stick those in now on your paper. And you're welcome to share with us if you like. But these are pretty much the main categories, but you will have others because what's important to you will differ per person. Okay, you ready? All right, so remember Erica answered for the group. Mrs. Coleman answered for the group, and she said, is our life out of balance? She said what? No. All right, so now we're going to see if that's true or not. Assess yourself. Okay, there are 24 hours in a day, right? Right? Okay, good. All right, so how did you spend yours? Think about yesterday. Okay, we have all these priorities, God, self, family, friends, community, work, fun, whatever else you added in. Because I did this myself, and I'm like, okay, eight, it ain't adding up. But this is our lives. So put a true picture of your life. This is our lives. We spend 8 hours plus more at the job. That's what we do. This work-life balance. Now, I've looked at a couple. Yeah, you have a comment? Yes.
I was going to comment on what Mr. Depp said. Hold on. Pause. Hold on. Hold on. Go ahead. Mr. Depp said that work-life balance.
I was going to comment on what Minister Deb said. I know that research talks about looking at hours, but balance is a relative term. So what may be balanced for one person in their work-life balance may not be balanced for another person. So you do have to start looking at your priorities, and then you have to define what balance is for you. And then you have to assess yourself after that. So define what balance means for you. Balance for Pastor Mike might be that Monday that he spends with Miss Pete or whatever. That may be his balance. Maybe he says that, you know, the rest of the days for me is work, and that's how I've defined balance. Just like success is a relative term, balance is a relative term. So once you have your definition of what balance means for you, then you can really adequately assess yourself. Does that make sense? Does that make sense to everybody, though? Okay. Because balance is relative. Nobody can tell you what balance means for you or what balance should look like for you.
Okay.
I'm just basing it on what I saw. If we do the 24 hour with what she got up there, it'll show you where you are. I know it seems like I'm not thinking about nobody who said something. I'm saying sometimes we want to fix it, but it'll help us. Like if God got 10 minutes out of my 24 hours, yeah. He did.
Right.
That ain't deep. And if my family got an hour in the 24, then I got to see what it does. It helps you make assessments, adjustments. That's just a comment.
Right. I agree with you.
But even with that, that could be construed or misconstrued, because on Tuesday, I may not spend that quality time with my family, but all day Saturday, I made up for it.
That's why it's what's balance for you. That's why it has to be what your definition of balance is. Because it's a relative term. It's not the same for everybody. It's not going to look the same.
We have a comment in the back.
The only thing about that, dude, just like balance is relative, people's work schedules are relative. And so everybody doesn't necessarily work the same way. Some people may work 2 days on, 3 days off. So it really, a week would really be a better gauge.
We have a comment in the front.
Right here. It sounds like to me that just because you have things going from top to bottom, that doesn't mean that the top thing gets the most hours.
No.
Just make sure it's the quality time, not the most time.
Sure.
So maybe that's where some people are getting confused.
And then some people work don't have to work 8 hours straight. You know, you could do the 2 hours, and because then some people are striving so that you don't have to work 8 hours a day every day, trying to position yourself where you can just set your own schedule so that the money can be made and all the other things can be prioritized as well.
A good point of this exercise is to show us where we are. And the research that was presented, the research that was presented shows that our society in general is moving towards work being the most important. So yes, it may be that you work 8 hours. Yes, it may be that you had a 3-hour commute. It's taking a big chunk of your time. Do you know that? Do you understand that? Are you okay with that? So if you would, if you want to kind of see where... If you want to see where you are and if you're okay with your numbers, because, I mean, I don't get 8 hours of sleep, and I want to. I like sleep. I really do. I'm starting to put that on the wheel, but I didn't. But I really like sleep. And some people, they like eating. I mean, it's some people like sports. Like, some people like running or whatever they like. So this will help us if you see that, you know what, I'm spending too much time on this right here. I need to make some decisions. Most of the books that I just kind of skimmed and scanned talked about that we have choices. We have to empower ourselves to make the choice. It may be a tough choice, but we have to make choices for what we say is our priority. So if you want to see where you are, you can put in the times. I don't know if it's easier for you to work backwards and say, okay, I went to sleep at What time did you go to sleep so you can say, okay, I got a good 3 solid hours sleep. That'll go on the self. And when I was doing this, I was looking and I was like, yourself may be left out. Like, I should have did a line for just kind of maintenance, like eating and sleeping. That's not really self. Like, if you like reading poetry or if you like taking walks outside because you like the mosquitoes to bite you, then that's important. That should be on your wheel of life. You like, I like taking a walk outside in the sun for, you know, 20 minutes every day. Did yourself get any time? So, if you want to, just to kind of see where you are just for yesterday, and it'll help you to make some decisions that we sometimes ignore or, you know, forget to make because of the pressure of work. So it's kind of just letting you know that work is important, but we need to put it under the microscope and see how we can shift it for those other priorities that we may have. Yes, ma'am.
I think as leaders, we need to recognize that vision partners have 24 hours too. And so sometimes we're requesting them. I think that sometimes we work 8 hours a day, mostly everybody. And sometimes we get it confused. We're volunteering. You're not volunteering here. You're working. But sometimes we expect vision partners may work at Alabama Power, but we expect them to come down here and volunteer, and sometimes we don't volunteer. So as leaders, we have to be careful to balance their time too and not expect too much from them when we ourselves aren't giving, because we get it confused. You work here, you're being paid. They work at Alabama Power, they're being paid, but we expect them to come down here and volunteer. But we don't volunteer. So as leaders, you have to be careful not to expect too much of them. And I think Faith Chapel have, in the past, required too much of vision partners. That's why people don't sign up to be leaders.
Again, everybody, this exercise, well, this part is for you, but definitely always think about the people that you work with, the people on your team, the people who are in your ministries that fall under your area. So don't neglect them, but do be mindful of them as well. Remember we talked about knowing what motivates your team. Then you need to know what motivates you and what motivates your team so that it'll be a happy experience for everybody involved, but also on this aspect as well. And that's, you know, that may go under community or under God, but volunteering, sharing your gift with others, that's a pull on our time as well. Being mindful that they have lives outside of here, as Minister Moore just said. All right, so you did your activity. You know where you are. Are you comfortable? Are you sitting pretty? You like, yeah, I'm in balance. I got this thing under control. Or are you looking like, what's happened here? So your self-assessment is just for yourself. I just have a few final thoughts before we close. Each of us will have our own set of priorities. What's more important, what's least important. We decide what is most important to us, and then we got to put our money where our mouth is, okay? You say it's important, but is it showing up in your time, in your hours? You spending time and energy there, is it what you value? It is our responsibility to set the scale and balance our life. Now, the next point talks about avoid equal distribution. This came out in one of the books. You're not going to have equal distribution of everything. You're not going to say, okay, I got one-fourth of this, one-fourth of this, one-fourth of this. And you won't, because something's going to be more important. Something's going to take preeminence. Something's going to rise to the top. You have to decide what that is. So balance does not mean 50%, 50-50, 60-40. No, you have to divide it based on what's more important. If your hours for, you know, sleep is higher, then that's what you value. Next, strive for a harmonious mix that assigns weight or rank based on how important the priority is to you personally. Beth Sawi, I think it is, the author of Coming Up for Air, she says that we must understand what our own priorities are and stick to them. You got to stick to them. You say it's your priority. Well, can it be seen? Stick to it. Despite the pressures of the outside world, despite what others may say, despite all of that, stick to what you say your values are or your priorities. Any questions or concerns? Comments? I got it.
For people that know me, I love budgets, and I remember when I was trying to do a time budget, and I had 16 hours to divvy up as to how I would do this, and I came across two resources that have just been phenomenal, because as a mom, you got toddlers, you have a high demanding job, and you have a life that you have to live. The first one that I came across was Choosing to Cheat by Andy Stanley. That one pretty much deals with setting aside quality time. Quality and quantity are not the same thing, because you could be spending a whole lot of time with a person and it still not be quality time. So making sure that when you do your time management, or when you're spending time with God or whatever, it's your best hour. If it's just an hour or what have you, you make sure it's quality time, and you can get a whole lot out of that. And the other one was called Off Balance by Matthew Kelly. It just was life-changing to my temperament that wants everything to equal. But it dealt more with energy management, making sure that you don't stay at work 12 hours and I got to go deal with Nehemiah, so the 2 hours that I have left, I don't have the energy to really put into that. So it delved more into the you making sure that when you're looking at your best hour. So Andy deals with, you may have to have a conversation with your employer, meaning that when you're doing the flex scheduling or what have you, making sure that you're doing it not for you to get home to just work during those particular times. The flex scheduling, making sure that you have the best time that you can in that particular day, so that you can have the energy to deal with your child or the energy to deal with your husband. So you maximize your mental energy at work, give your job its best, your best insofar as that is concerned, and you need to make a shift. But you can't give Faith Chapel 16 of the hours and then think that you're going to have the energy left for your family. But they were two excellent resources for me.
The point I wanted to make, you brought out some stuff in the final thoughts that really, to me, what I got some from this. We have to decide what our priorities are. If your children are a priority, you know, it just hit me. If you say your children are a priority, then you need to make your children a priority. And you put the trend up there, the world is moving in that direction, but sometimes we have to ask ourselves, sometimes it's because we want more. You know, we want the bigger house, we want the biggest car, we want the kids, we want the car, we want the house. And I'm not saying our faith can't get it, so don't hear that, because we're Faith Church, you can get it. You ain't got, you know, you can get it by faith. But I think we try to get a lot of this stuff. And so we have to ask ourselves, what is my priority in life sometimes? Is it my kids? Is it spending quality time with my husband or my kids? Or is it I want these things that my faith ain't getting it, so I'm going to make it happen? And then once you decide what your priorities are, then you put everything else comes under that. And you have to make, sometimes we have to make the adjustment in our own lives based on what we say our priorities are. So I learned a lot from this today.
I just wanted to add, and not really argue the point. I think it's kind of been a running joke that I work a lot or whatever. But I just want to throw this out here. I think some other people actually work more, because for me, once I leave, I'm done. It's just set. You rarely get an email from me after I'm gone, but some people email all night long, early in the morning. And so you're actually working more, because you're not physically here doesn't mean that you're not working. So I just wanted to kind of throw that out there. That's a good
point. I would like to hear the name of this author of Off Balance again, please.
It's Matthew Kelly is his name.
Any other comments, concerns?
Since I did prayer, I can hear from the Lord. So I can just go and stay in there. We can pray to the Lord to help us with our time. That's what I got. That help us how to prioritize. Because you can still, once you do it, the list that she gave, then God will show you times. Because me, I'm a late night person. Some of y'all may not be. I like to stay up late. But see, me and God get it up at 12 at midnight. Y'all might be asleep, but I like it. It's just because I'm like that. So he shows you times, you know. So that's all I was saying.
I was just going to say, since we're in this vein, and kudos to my boss, so I'm not speaking about my boss, but a lot of us have the smartphones where we do get emails and things like that, and I just want to put it out there, it really is a convenience versus you're on call or you're on demand. None of us, we're not called to do that, so... When we email people, like Minister Deb, she'll say, "Hey, I'm getting it off me so I won't forget or whatever." But she's not expecting me to respond, and I think we need to respect that, because just because you're doing it off hours, you can't just expect an immediate response. If it's something you want an immediate response, then you need to pick up the phone and make a call, but don't put it on that person, because we have the convenience of having phones that have access to emails and things like that. So just be respectful of your teammate.
I was going to say also, priorities may change depending on a certain area of your life or a certain area of time. For one period of time, you may have this focus to get something done, particularly that you may agree to. Then, okay, now we can change the priorities to maybe a little more relaxed setting or what have you. So sometimes priorities have to be chosen for seasons.
I agree.
And I'm not trying to be overly spiritual in this comment, but we are a church.
And to be honest with you, sometimes we don't rely on the grace of God enough. God can give you an idea. You know, you may spend hours trying to do something or come up with a solution to something, where if you just take a minute, sit back in your chair. Just sit back in your chair. I've had this happen to me before. I'm not just talking. And just say, okay, God, I need your help. Holy Spirit, how do I do this? How do I make this happen? And he can give you an idea just like that. And I don't think we rely enough on the grace of God. We work in a church, but I don't think we rely on the grace of God and the Holy Spirit to help us. We're trying to do everything with our own master's degree or whatever we got, you know, and I'm not against degrees either, but I think we depend too much sometimes on our own skills and abilities, and we don't rely enough on the Holy Ghost to help us. We could save a lot of time and energy and frustration if we sat back in that chair sometimes, if it's 5 or 10 minutes, and pray, and God could help us with our time management.
All hearts and minds clear? Any other questions or comments? Well, I hope you got something out of today, and I'll turn it over.
Very good. That was very good. Well, Pastor been speaking on change, and we got change back today. But I also wanted to say, too, he has been speaking on change, and I think that this message was, or this lesson, was really, really good on work-life balance. So I believe he's speaking to us. And so we, you know, we have assessed ourselves, and we know who we are if we need to make adjustments. And sometimes we're crying out to the heart of God, and God is crying out to us to go ahead and make the adjustments. So it was an absolutely great message. Thank you so much, and you guys have a wonderful, wonderful day.